Last night, Deacon Tim witnessed the marriage of his daughter at Wisdom Chapel in Lafayette, and I was able to attend, and he did a great job. I think it was one of the best homilies I've ever heard, if not the best, at a wedding. Of course, he had a lot of inside knowledge about his daughter, that obviously, and a lot of humor that he used. I thought the funniest line was when he said to the young man, Will, he said, if you get in an argument and your wife says at the end of the argument, well, do whatever you want, under no circumstance are you supposed to do whatever you want. So it was very cute, very well done. On this day, it is traditional to announce the movable feasts that depend on Easter each year, which moves around on the calendar. So know, dear brothers and sisters, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of the Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the fifth day of March will fall Ash Wednesday, in the beginning of the fast of the sacred season of Lent. On the 20th day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the first day of June, you will be the Ascension of our Lord. The eighth day of June, the Solemnity of Pentecost. The 22nd day of June, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. And on the 30th day of November, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So now you know, and if you forget, we do have bulletins and announcements to remind you about that throughout the year. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, the desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God. And God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. And that's what the Magi were searching for. They were searching for truth and happiness and joy, and they had to be led by a star, by science, basically, because they didn't have divine revelation like the Jewish people did, represented by the shepherds. So the Magi represent all the pagan nations who were looking and searching for the truth and for fulfillment in life and finding it in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they were on a journey of life that ended up coming to know Jesus, our Lord. And on Holy Family, I preached to you about life as a pilgrimage, a journey to Almighty God. And today I want to use a specific example of someone whose feast day was yesterday, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, because it's the 50th anniversary of her canonization, 1975, that she was canonized. And she was, it is, the first U.S. native-born citizen canonized in the United States. And she was born on the feast day of St. Augustine, August the 28th, 1774, so right before the Boston Tea Party. And you know, St. Augustine had a circuitous route of coming to know our Lord. He had a windy pilgrimage, and so did Elizabeth in her own way. But she took Augustine as one of her patron saints. And he was famous for saying, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. And her maternal grandfather was an Episcopalian, so she was raised in that faith in New York, where she was born. And her mother died when she was 3, and father remarried, and they later separated. And when they separated, their stepmom rejected Elizabeth. But she did teach Elizabeth one good thing, and that was to serve the poor. From then on, she was raised by an uncle, and then she married William Seton in New York, had a home on Wall Street, and they actually knew President George Washington in his later life. But because of the War of 1812, it affected William's shipping business, and they went bankrupt, and then he got sick with tuberculosis. The doctor said, you better go to a better climate. Go to Italy, he said. And since he had business partners there, the Filicchi family, so they went there, but William ended up dying there. And so Elizabeth was exposed to the Catholic faith there in Italy, and she was impressed by the Lord's true presence in the Blessed Sacrament and by devotion to Mary that she was not familiar with. And so when she came back to New York, she thought about converting to Catholicism, but there were other denominations that were pulling on her as well, courting her to join with them. And so she finally asked for Mary's intercession, and then she got so confused and depressed, she just said, well, I'm not going to belong to any denomination. And so it was on January the 6th, the feast of, which is normally the feast of the Epiphany, it used to be on a fixed date, January the 6th, she decided not to go to any church. But she pulled a book off her shelf of homilies of a French priest, Father Bourdaloue, in the 17th, 16th century. And it was about Epiphany. And it really touched her because he said, it is necessary that our faith be tried by those abandonments and those privations so common to the souls of the just. And if we're not strong enough to say to God, test me, then we must, after the example of the Magi, be so disposed as to persevere in the midst of trials, which it may please the Lord to give us. And she had trials in her life already, the death of her husband, a widow now. They had five children, by the way. But when she read this, she said, this is the truth. I will become a Catholic. And so she did that. And had her first communion on the Feast of the Annunciation. And she said, at last, God is mine and I am his. She tried to start a Catholic school that ended up failing. And then was invited by a bishop in Baltimore to go there and start a Catholic school, which she did. And it was successful. Her own children were attending the school. And other women started to come to teach. And so she decided to start a religious order, the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph. And they are still going today. Emmitsburg, Maryland is their mother house in the United States. And she is buried there at the shrine. And many of our priests were trained there, like Father Mitchell Guidry went to theology school at Emmitsburg. And he was ordained a deacon in that very shrine, as I have been in that shrine to see as well. And so one of her daughters actually joined the order on her deathbed, and another child died. So she had all these different trials in her life, and then a illness of about 2 years until she died in 1821, 2 days before Epiphany, once again, so that Epiphany had a powerful meaning in her life. And she prayed the Anima Christi prayer, soul of Christ, sanctify me. And then her last word was Jesus on her lips as she entered into eternity. And she spoke about, in her teaching to her nuns, about keeping the eye of faith always open and persevering through every trial and difficulty. And so she teaches us a good example on the journey of our life and the ups and downs of it, always keeping our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus. And Pope Benedict, in his letter on this holy year, which is called the Pilgrims of Faith, Pilgrims of Hope is the theme, he said, the Jubilee churches along the pilgrimage routes in the city of Rome and in all the dioceses can serve as an oasis of spirituality and places of rest on the pilgrimage of faith, where we can drink from the wellsprings of hope. The wellsprings of hope. So I was thinking that we need to each and every one of us be an epiphany to others. Epiphany means manifestation, revelation, like Jesus manifested to the pagan nations. So we need to be an epiphany to our brothers and sisters, be a light to them that are in the darkness so that they too can be pilgrims of hope.